الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Dear viewers and listeners of Madani channel, welcome back to another wonderful and inspiring episode of The Early Echo. And Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jalla, we try our best to bring to you topics that are refreshing, topics that are inspiring, and current topics as well. So as always, stay tuned right to the end, inshallah Azza wa Jalla. Take out your notebooks whenever you are listening to or watching any silsila, any program of Madani channel, and jot down the important Madani pearls of advices. Believe me, this will help you later on. When you flip through, maybe last year, 2 years ago that you took down the notes, and you're flipping through, you say, hey, yes, okay, I remember this now, I remember that. And subhanAllah, as it is mentioned, ink is the best memory. And Sayyiduna Anas radiyallahu ta'ala anhu said, capture knowledge by writing it down. SubhanAllah. And you can do it with good intentions. That, you know, when you are talking to your family members, your spouse, your parents, your children, or maybe you have grandchildren, you can share these, you know, points with them, these lovely points. So jot down the important Madani pearls and it will benefit you later in life, inshallah. Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, today we have another important topic. We only try to stick to important topics that, you know, directly affect us as human beings, as Muslims. This is what we try to highlight, to empower the Ummah. This is, Dawud Sami is there to empower the Ummah with authentic Islamic knowledge. It's about learning and teaching. Teaching and learning. This is an ongoing process, right till our last breath. That's the mindset I must have. Right to my last breath, I must just continue from cradle to grave, seeking knowledge of deen, practicing it, conveying that message to others. That's some of the intentions I need to make right now. The hadith pak, niyatul mu'mini khayrun min amalihi. The intention of a believer is better than his action. Let's make some good intention that, Ya Allah, I'm listening, I am watching this silsila, this program of Madani channel for your rida, for your pleasure and happiness, for the pleasure of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What I learn, I will try to practice and convey this message to others. By conveying it to others, we will be practicing on the command of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, ballighu anni walau ayah. Convey on my behalf, even if it is one verse, one statement. Subhanallah. Is that not my responsibility and your responsibility as Muslims, as believers, as slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and slaves of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? That's our duty. That's our master. I am his slave. He taught me how to live my life. He gave me the sunnah, his practical lifestyle. Allah gave me his Quran, his kalam, his words, his kitab, his book, full of guidance for the believers. So why would I leave that which is the best and opt and go for that which is destructive? And you can see it in the societies out there. They've chosen that to rely on their minds, on their feelings and options. And so the society has decayed, has become decadent and backward. SubhanAllah. Obedience is only to Allah and Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's where, if anybody instructs you to do something which leads to disobedience to Allah and His Rasul Azza wa Jalla wa Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that's when you disobey them. Because they want you to obey them and not obey your Creator and your Master as well. Well, you know, there's so many beautiful blessings, bounties, benefits for the fortunate Muslims who recite abundant amounts of Durood-e Pak, salawat, or salutations upon the cause of creation, the cream of creation, the crown of creation, the owner of Jannah, the knower of the unseen, the intercessor of the Ummah, our most merciful Master, the last Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Rasul of Rahmah, the Messenger of Mercy, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, has said, أَوْلَى النَّاسِ بِي يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ أَكْثَرُهُمْ عَلَيَّ صَلَاةً. The person who would have recited the most salat, the most durood upon me, will be the closest to me amongst the people on the Day of Judgment. Ask yourself, to whom do I want to be closest to on the Day of Judgment? To whom? In this world we have some contacts, some connections, some people of influence we know. We feel like, you know, these are the people I need to be close to, so I can live my life smoothly. I can have less hiccups in my life. I can jump to the front of the queue because of my association with this person who has contacts, who has connections, who has associates, who has influence. Without comparison, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is that one connection. Believe me, everybody will be so desperate to have on a Day of Judgment. He is the beloved of Allah, and He will intercede. He will do shafa'ah, He will help people. So don't you think we should, you know, be smart, be wise, be intelligent and intellectual, and plan for that day when everybody is alone, the Day of Judgment, and get close, draw closer to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One way is by sending abundant amounts of Durood-e Pak. Because let's face it, you know, we have so much of time that we waste away. We just waste away on unnecessary conversations, useless activities, things that have no benefit for us in this world, the grave, the hereafter. And when we can use that time wisely, smartly, we can use that time to empower ourselves with seeking knowledge of Deen, with the recitation of Qur'an-i Pak, Durood-i Pak, Istighfar, Zikrullah. Because those are the things that are going to help us. When you go to your qabr, your grave, you are going with two luggages to explain it. Two bags. One bag full of good deeds, the other bag full of bad deeds. Now how much, which one is heavier? We don't know. We don't know which ibadat Allah has accepted. Subhanallah. Therefore we should do as much as we can in the short life that we have. Don't think, you know, I'm still young, I'm still healthy, and you know, things are okay, things are good. Accidents happen all the time. Sickness, before you know it, just comes all of the time. How many people we know? One time they ultra healthy, living a very healthy lifestyle, and you know, there's nothing apparently wrong, and before you know it, within a couple of days, within a week, the person is on bed. Within a month, they are bedridden, they can't move upon the bed. It's happening all around us, whether we know or we don't. So make the most of it, really make the most of it, because before you know it, it's over, it's gone. Then who loses out? We lose out. I lose out. You lose out. Who cares? Who cares? Who amongst the people cares? We need to make up our minds. You know, it's not just working hard, working smart. It's about those whom we associate with. People want to associate with those who are higher than them in status, in worldly status. That's the reality. Well, this person knows that contact. This person has this influence. This person is a wealthy individual, is in this certain profession. So people want to rub shoulders with those who are higher than them in worldly status. How much more benefit you will have if you associate with those who have a higher status than you and I in the spiritual realm, in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Creator. Because when a person leaves this world, think about this logically. And think about this seriously. When a person leaves the world, now his degree, his PhD, his master's degree, his profession, his experience, his influence, where is it gone to? How does it help? How does it help in the grave? All of that stops there and then, and is restricted, stays back in this world. Like his wealth, like his influence, like his power, like his properties, like his whatever, stays here in the world. And he's going as a pauper, every one of us. So you need to think about this. Yes, if you need to get close to people that can make things happen, all legally, of course. But don't leave the more important aspect, which is to be associated with those people who are spiritually elevated than yourself, who are spiritually higher than yourself. Subhanallah. And this is where I'm talking about company. I'm talking about association. Who are the people that I stay with? Who are the people, meaning my friends, who are the people that I go out with, that I feel nice and laid back and informal, and I don't have to worry about looking over my shoulder or being formal and being eloquent and I can make my mistakes and, you know, who are those people? Who are those people? I want you to really think about it. Picture them, their faces. They might be 2, they might be 5, they might be 10, they might be hundreds of thousands that you don't even know what they look like. I'm talking about social media. I'm talking about these chat rooms. I'm talking about the internet. But so many people out there, we have no clue. We have made friends with them online. Now with artificial intelligence and so many other programs, applications, coming about. We don't even know what they look like. They could put somebody's picture there, we don't know if that's really them. We don't know who they are. They could lie about their age, their profession, their everything. They could just make up some fantasy in their mind. That's where they want to live out their fantasy because they can't attain it in reality. So on social media, they try to live this out, this imagination, this fantasy and castles in the air. And I think, wow, you know what, I'm associated with this person who's my friend who stays in this country and, you know, they look like they got a good physique, they're smart, intelligent, and they have a good study. How do you know? How do you really know? They could probably have nothing of that. And as I said, they just want to live their fantasy, their dream on the internet, on social media, and we bought it. Subhanallah. How amazing is that? Now, how gullible have we become? How naive we have become? So, you know, you need to monitor, you need to see who am I associated with? It is mentioned in the book Nek Ki Da'wat, meaning Call to Righteousness, page 290. Amir al-Sunnah, the founder of Dawud Islami, Hazrat Allama Mawlana Abu Bilal Muhammad Ilyas Attar Qadri Razavi Ziyai, Dawud Barakatul Aliyah, has said, that once in A certain city, a strange, hideous and bad smell was felt in the neighborhood. After a long struggle to locate where the smell was coming from, the locals were finally able to find that it was coming from a locked house. The police were informed, they arrive, they break down the door, break the lock, and in the presence of some of the public, some of the locals, they enter into the house and they immediately cover their nose, cover their mouth. They feel like throwing up because of the stench. But what they saw shocked them. Inside that house was the corpse of a young man who was lying on a bedstead and his body was decomposing. Insects, maggots, flies, they were eating his body. Seeing this, many people who were present, even some children who had come in, fell down unconscious. After the investigation, it was found out that this young man was actually a laborer and he was living in this house on rent. He had friendship with some evil people that he called friends. They were gamblers. They used to gamble, but he was friends with them. And one day he won a lot of money gambling with his friends against them. Now, in order to steal this money, that he had won from them, the friends, they plotted a plan that how can we get back our money and his money also, but so much he took. Allahu Akbar. So they had gotten to his house. They took a noose, a rope or string, tied it around his neck, and in that manner murdered him. They also repeatedly gave him electric shocks. They then locked the house and ran away, leaving him in that condition of being unshrouded, not buried, and decomposing on the bedstead. Friends do that. Allahu Akbar. So who are my friends? Analyze my life. Not just me. Who are the friends of my child? My sons and daughters? Who's their friend circle? And be very careful. Because Shaitan, you know, he's so cunning. He's so wicked. And he knows what kind of net to throw to catch the person. He knows which buttons to press. But he's doing this for a very long time. He's doing this for thousands of years. That's how much of experience he has in tricking people into falling into sin or tricking people into losing their iman by saying things. Because of the company of friends, a person's mindset will be like, no, you know, why is this happening to me? Why is Allah doing this to me? Na'udhu billah. Why is Allah oppressing me? To talk in this manner, a person can lose the iman. Lose the iman. Who are you? Who are you? Who am I? To question Allah, the amount of sins that I have done, the amount of wrong that I have done, the disobedience that I have done to Allah Azza wa Jalla and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and yet I ask, why me? Why is this happening to me? Where does the mindset come from? If I'm associated with people who are constantly remembering Allah Azza wa Jalla, praising Allah Azza wa Jalla, worshipping Allah Azza wa Jalla, I can never think like this. I can never think because I know I have a complete understanding that these are tests from Allah. That due to my sins, I'm inviting difficulties in my life. whatever difficulties in front of me, I have faced many others before. And Allah Azza wa Jal gave me the strength, the power to overcome it. So this problem I'm facing in my life today, this great difficulty, maybe it's of a spiritual nature, maybe financial, psychological, whatever. This will pass as well through the mercy of Allah. I just have to keep my duties up, 5 times salah, not just reading it, but reading it properly, as it's supposed to be performed, reading the Quran properly, as it's supposed to be recited, protecting my ears, my eyes, my tongue, my mind, my body, my limbs, practicing the Sunnah, obeying my Allah, my Creator Azza wa Jal, obeying my Master Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. If I'm doing my best really to do these things, then I know, and I'm making my dua, that this time will pass sooner than I know. I just have to have patience. Allah Azza wa Jal is with those who patiently persevere. إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الصَّابِرِينَ. Those who are the patient ones, Allah is with them. So I know I'll have patience, yes, I'll work at it. But I won't complain and say things that are detrimental to my iman. That happens because a person associates with the wrong company. Whether physically face to face or whether online. صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. You know, we've heard this narration now with that young man's friends, what they did to him. There's no loyalty amongst thieves. It's a saying. There's maybe a gang of thieves, 4 or 5 of them, and they all got each other's back because they all have to work together to make the maybe a robbery or something happen. So they think they are thick as thieves and loyal. There's no loyalty amongst thieves. One day, someday, they will betray each other. And this was the case here as well. They betrayed that young man. And he, because of association with them, used to gamble. Gambling. It breeds malice, hatred, and enmity towards other people, sometimes leading to murder, like in this case that I mentioned to you. Because of gambling, a rich person becomes poor within a moment. A prosperous family is left destitute and in poverty. A well-to-do person becomes penniless. He loses his status, he loses his reputation. There's like no value and respect for him in society. The gambler is compelled to, because a person can become addicted. How a person can become addicted to alcohol, which is impure like urine, not just forbidden and haram and prohibited, but not just like impure like urine. And people are busy happily with a smile on their face, consuming that impurity. Yes, it's impure like urine. Allah Akbar. Happily they are drinking that impurity. And that impurity is flowing in their body. Of course, sickness will haunt them. Of course, the punishment will be waiting for them. Starting here, increasing in the grave and intensifying on the day of judgment. So, people get addicted to alcohol, get addicted to drugs, get addicted to gambling as well. So the gambler is compelled to now borrow money wherever he can, just to feed this drug of gambling. Just to, hear the sound of that coin going or the token going down into the slot machine and pulling it and that feeling. And they can't pay it back. They owe the casinos, the gambling dens. then they owe this person and that person. And you think if he goes back to that person, he will lend him? You just lost that friend that may have been a good friend for you. But because you associated with those people that are in this field of this evil circle, the circle of sins, of gambling, of adultery, of riba, of lies and cheating, of alcohol, of drugs, and you name it, music and clubs and pubs and the circle of sins. Because person feels like, you know what, I'm having fun, I'm de-stressing, I'm relaxing, I'm cool, I'm calm, I'm enjoying my life. I work from this time to this time, and I give so much of time to my family. I just want to unwind and just let go. Well, you do let go. You let go of your modesty, you let go of your morality, and you let go of your duty as a Muslim. Imagine if you die in that condition. Don't tell me it can't happen. Of course it's possible. But while you're gambling, you die in that position. While you're taking drugs, you die. While you drink alcohol, you die. While you're busy jiving and singing and dancing in the clubs, you die in that condition. How many times we heard the whole stage or the whole dance floor collapsed? And how many people died there? How sad. Because how a person leaves this world, that is how they will be resurrected on the day of judgment. That's how they will be raised on the day of judgment. I'm busy. If a person is busy drinking alcohol and dies like that, a person is busy in the pub, in the clubs, and gambling, dies like that, how embarrassing, how humiliating. And you think, am I a wise person or not? Am I an intelligent, intellectual person or not? A smart person or not? And I still go and do all of these wrong things, which are against Islamic values, primarily because of influence. Come, let's go, man. Let's go watch this movie and let's go to this club. There's a new club opening up. There's a new song. There's a new hit. Come on, man. Let's go. Who's influencing you? Not who's influencing you. Who are you allowing to influence you? You need to think about that. Who am I allowing to influence me? Am I allowing the Quran and Hadith to influence my life, my thought, how I think? Or am I allowing people who are just there for fun, and that fun takes them and us towards sin? And that sin behind it, attached to it, is punishment. So which direction am I going? I don't want punishment. I don't want Jahannam. I don't want pain. But I'm running in that direction. How smart am I? And I want Jannah. I want paradise. I want to be in Jannatul Firdaus. Whatever I want, I will get it. Yet I'm running far away, very fast away from that path. So how smart am I? How eloquent am I? What kind of a genius am I? I've built my corporate company. I've amassed so much of wealth. I'm worth so much. And how smart am I? I'm running away from the path of Jannah and I'm running fast towards Jahannam, the path of Jahannam. So really smart. So smart, I'll realize how smart I am when the angel of death comes. The time is now to change. Now is the time to realize once and for all that no, that's it. Enough is enough. I'm just tired of disobeying Allah. There comes that point where you feel like, leave all of this. I need to divorce myself from all the negative influences in my life. Because those so-called friends, they're just there for fun. They're not going to help me. Only those people that remind me of Allah when I'm in their company, who remind me about my duty as a Muslim, who remind me about Salah, about Sunnah, about obeying Allah Azza wa Jalla and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, about obeying the Quran, the teachings of the Quran. Those are the kind of people, they are my true friends. As a Muslim, believe me, if you have people around you like this, when you look at them, they busy in a tasbih on the counter, reading dhikr and durood paak. They're busy reciting Quran paak. They're busy with learning something of deen or teaching you something. Today, you know what, I learned something that, you know, after every Fard Salah Yumazid, Ayatul Kursi, if you do this, there's nothing stopping you from entering into Jannah when you die. So, I mean, those are the kind of people who you can consider your friends. And you appoint as a watchman over you. What do I mean by that? That, you know, you tell somebody that you trust, that you know is, you know, I know this person for years. And you know, he's punctual with his salah, he's got good akhlaq, good character, doesn't listen to music, doesn't take drugs, alcohol, doesn't go to the clubs and the pubs, and doesn't listen to music, and you know, I've never heard him use vulgar words, obscene words, and you know, a good Muslim, practicing Muslim, his beliefs are correct to the T. And you tell him, you know what, I want you to be my nigran. I want you to be my watchman. That, you know, what you know, teach me. And if you witness, if you see any fault in me, any defect in me, any error in me, that I'm doing something wrong, I'm making some mistakes, please correct me. Highlight it. Teach me what is the right way. And you'll be very lucky if you get somebody like this. And let me tell you, in the environment and circle of Dawud Islami, that you will find people like this. You'll find many people, alhamdulillah, through the fadl and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will find people like this. And of course, there are etiquettes when it comes to correcting somebody. The great leader of millions of Shawafi, Sayyidina Imam Shafi'i rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he says that if you correct a person in private, that is not in front of others, secretly, quietly, behind closed doors, then you have done your brother a great favor. But if you have corrected your brother in public, then you have disgraced him. You have humiliated him. So with these etiquettes of correcting people, let us get in this habit. Not just for looking at faults so we can think that I'm better than him, yeah. You know, he's doing all A, B, C wrong. Or to belittle the person or blackmail the person. No. If the person appoints you as a migran, as a caretaker, as a watchman. Remember, who's watching the watchman? Who's guarding the guards? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching you. Allah is watching you. You watching that man to correct him. What is your intention? Allah is watching you. Don't forget that. In English they say, company makes the man. Also the lady. Meaning, who are you going to be with, your friend circle? That's what you're going to become. You're going to become like them. Even if a person says that, okay, they do wrong things, they smoke this and that, and but I don't do those things. I like their jokes, I like the entertainment. It's fun, it's relaxed. One day you're going to get so used to their wrong and their sins that you will consider it as normal, my friends, man. And then another day, you will take one puff, or one snot, or one injection, one jab. Before you know it, you've overtaken them, and you are influencing somebody else. And even if you don't, in the rest of the people, if they see you associated with that bunch, you're already stigmatized, you're already stamped part of them. It's like a water, a river that is flowing, and you take a drop of water and you throw it in there. Can you find where the drop of water is? It's all one. It's all regarded as one. One and the same. So you will be regarded as one and the same as those individuals. They are drinking alcohol and you are not. People will say, he's a drunkard. He hangs around with all the drunkards. That's his friends. That's the people who influence him. And don't think, no, I'll go there to influence them. How strong you have to be for that? How many people they have slipped and fallen thinking like this, that, you know what, I can control myself. I won't do those things. I'll just go there to try and influence them. If it's something that, you know, you can destroy yourself. Just be with the company of good. Just make dua for them. The so-called friends of yours who are doing bad things, make dua for them. Maybe one-on-one, when they're not doing the bad things, just tell them, let's go to the masjid. Let's go for Jumu'ah Salah. Let's go for Eid Salah. Let's Ijtima' of Dawud Salah. Come, let's go. And that way you can influence them. But to be with them in their circle when they're doing the wrong things, that's detrimental to your health, to your iman. That can pull you down. But like I said, bring them this way. You know what? Tell me. Just Thursday night, man. Ijtima, let's go. Learn something. Have some niyaz afterwards. Subhanallah. You don't know? Yes, that person could change 360 degrees to such an extent they could change that they could overtake you. Well, you are still waiting that, you know, okay, gradually in process I'm going to change. That's fine. That's fine also, yes. Along comes this person and he gets so absorbed into this environment of Dawud Islam and learning and teaching that he's gone past you. Allahu Akbar. But you're still getting sawab because you brought him in. You also helped train him, or you directed him to where he can receive the proper training in the Sunnah, in accordance with the teachings of the Quran, Islamic values, etc. Because you facilitated it. So whatever he is doing now, good deeds, you are getting sawab for that, without any reduction in his sawab. So subhanAllah, you don't lose out. Even if you invite the person to goodness, this is the mindset that Dawud Islam is giving us. If you're in this environment, this company, then you're always reminded. Always, there's some reminder somewhere, whether it's via the weekly booklet, or via the weekly Sunnah Inspired Ijtima, via the Madani Qafila, whether it's the monthly magazine Fizani Medina, whether it's Madani Channel, and your Dars, your Halka, and there's so many things happening on a daily basis. Daily, weekly, monthly, yearly, lifetime, Allahu Akbar. So there's so much happening. There's so many reminders that even if you fall down 10 times, it's much easier to pick yourself up because you are in that, in the circle, in this association, this company, this organization, that, you know, you're always given the injection of motivation, encouragement. So you're never alone. Subhanallah. So it's in my benefit, it's in your benefit as well, to be part and parcel of this beautiful Madani movement and environment of Dawud Islam. Because bad friends, they play a role in increasing evils and ruining the society. They ruin the society. Gangsters, mafia, and hijackers, kidnappers, spotters, are they there for the benefit of society at large? They are only for benefit of their pockets. Just their pocket, that's it. They don't care about nothing else. Try to make as much as we can so they can. Where do they go? Alcohol, drugs, clubs, zina, these kind of things. That's where they just blow the money. They're back doing the same thing. Allah protect us, our families, our offspring against the kidnappers who are out there, the spotters, the hijackers, the thieves, the robbers, jinn, jadu, bandish, nazribad, evil ones, sinful ones, criminals, criminal activities, viruses, sicknesses. Allah protect us. Amir al-Mu'mineen, the second Khalifa of Islam, the second successor of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sayyidina Umar al-Faruq al-A'zam radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. You know, he would say that, do not involve yourself in such a thing which is not useful for you, and stay away from your enemy and avoid your friend. But if he is trustworthy, as there is no one equal to the one who is trustworthy, and do not be with the sinner as he will teach you sins, and do not talk about your secret in front of him, and seek advice from those for your work, for fear Allah. That's from whom you must seek advice. Those who fear Allah, because they will give you advice from the bottom of their hearts. They will give you advice sincerely. They will give you advice that we can find it within the framework of the Sharia. The fourth Khalifa of Islam, the fourth successor of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Amir al-Mu'mineen, the commander of the believers, Sayyidina Mawla Ali karamallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-Kareem, has said, do not befriend a transgressor, because he will decorate his act for you and will want you to be like him, and he will show his worst habit to be good. His visit to you is a defect, and do not have brotherhood with a fool, as he will put himself in trouble, but will give you no benefit. And maybe sometimes he will want to benefit you, but he will end up harming you. His silence is better than speaking. His distance is better than nearness. Do not have brotherhood with a liar either, because associating with him won't benefit you. He will convey to others whatever you have said to him, and he will bring to you what others have said to him. And if you speak the truth, even then he will not speak the truth. Yes, we have some people like this in our societies. They're habitual thieves, habitual liars. They are sort of addicted to it. They have to speak a lie. They have to, if they don't, they felt like, you know, they're incomplete, or the sentence is incomplete. They have to use some kind of vulgarism to express themselves, because they can't do it in normal ways. They can't do it. They can't express themselves. They have to use vulgarism and obscenities and swear words. That's how they feel, I can really express myself. Because using normal, good, kind, polite words, they are unable to. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sayyidina Ja'far bin Sulaiman radiyallahu ta'ala anhu once said, I saw a dog walking behind Sayyidina Malik bin Dinar rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. I asked, O Abu Yahya, is this dog with you? He said, this dog is better than a bad companion. And have you heard that the company of that dog is better than being associated with bad friends, evil friends, sinful friends, bad company? Allahu Akbar. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam has said, avoid bad friends. In some of the hadith, avoid a bad friend because he is a piece of Jahannam. Avoid a bad friend because he is a piece of the hellfire. His love will not benefit you and he will not keep his promise to you. So avoid bad friends. Why am I still associated with them? Why? Because I have a good time, I have some fun, I catch a laugh when I listen to all their made up jokes. That's not the way. That's not the believer's way. That's the way of immaturity. That's the way of people without intellect, without understanding, without wisdom, without really any goodness. Just, you know, the useless people that want to have fun the whole day and not contribute anything positive to society. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam has also said, avoid a bad companion because you will be recognized through him. Were we not discussing that a few minutes back? The company you keep is who you are. That's how people are going to judge you. That's who you're going to be known for or known as. One who is in the company of bad people, bad friends, evil ones, sinful ones. Sinful ones. Is that, you know, with whom I want to be associated with? And here Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling us clearly that avoid a bad companion. Avoid him. Because that's how you are going to be recognized. It's mentioned again, another hadith pak by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who said, when you get up in the morning, then either be an Islamic scholar or a student or the one who listens to an Islamic scholar or loves an Islamic scholar, but don't be the fifth. Don't be the fifth one because then you will be destroyed. Here too, it's showing us association. Who should I be with? Must I listen to A, B, and C out there who don't know me, don't care about me, or should I listen to my master, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who cares about us, who worries about us, who is harisun alaykum, who cares for our benefit and our goodness? When Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is telling us, you know what? If you wake up in the morning, if you can't wake up in the state of being an alim al-deen, a scholar of the deen, then be at least one who is a student of an alim, or at least one who listens to an alim or one who loves the alim. Besides this, anything else, the fifth one, that's going to destroy you. So, parents out there, couples out there, think about this. Sincerely, seriously think about it. Practice upon it. You will see some kind of barakah and blessings in your rizq, in your sustenance, in your home, in your family, your offspring, by having this kind of a mindset. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, the example of a good and bad companion is like that of a musk-carrying person and the one blowing it into the furnace. This musk that is carried by the person will either give musk for free of cost, or you will buy from him and later you will have fragrance. You will have some fragrance from him. Whereas the one who is blowing the furnace will either burn your clothes or you will have a foul smell come from him. Hakim al-Ummah Mufti Ahmad Yarkhan Na'imi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi has said that how beautiful example is given here in this blessed hadith that it has been advised that the company of bad people can never benefit you and the company of good people can never harm anyone. Musk cannot be obtained from the furnace blowing person, but it can get only smoke out from there. Neither can one get heat nor smoke from the person who is carrying musk, but rather he will get the khushbu, the fragrance of musk, subhanallah azza wa jalla. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Shaykh Allama Muhammad bin Ahmad Zahabi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi said, a man used to remain in the company of alcoholics. When he was on his deathbed, someone persuaded him to recite the kalima. But he replied that, he replied in this manner. He started to say, you drink and give me some too. You drink and give me some too. You drink and give me some too. Whenever people are asking, recite the kalima, you on your deathbed, what he would reply? You drink and give me some too. Na'udhu billahi min dhalik. Allahu Akbar. Ma'azallah azza wa jal. And he died like that without reciting the kalima. How is my death going to take place? To all those out there who are gamblers, alcoholics, drug addicts, adulterers, thieves, robbers, those who hijack people, carjack people, kidnap people. You want to be like this person? Who at the time of death is deprived of reciting the kalima. Because you have destroyed yourself by disobeying Allah Azza wa Jalla. Yes, a person may feel like, hey, it's easy money. I can make a very, very big turnover within a few days, within a week. I'm doing this for a living now. Then Allah Azza wa Jalla give you permission to do that. Then Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam give you permission to do that. If not, are you disobeying Allah and the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Are you disobeying the commands of Islam? If yes, then wait for it. Wait for it, it's coming. Wait for the punishment. When you scream, then you will scream. Nobody's going to hear you. All the tons of sand when you die, nobody's going to hear you. Nobody will even want to take you back out from that qabr. But that's not all. On the Day of Judgment, that's when the real, real punishment is going to be meted out. Are you ready for it? I know I'm not. So what are we doing? How about we change now, here and now? In fact, while you're sitting there, make tawbah. It's through the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He grants a person the ability to make tawbah. If Allah did not give him the ability, he can never make tawbah. Maybe he will try to think, you know what, I need to make tawbah, but he will forget. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us sincerity to make sincere tawbah. To sincerely repent in His court and to never do that sin that we have committed again. Never do the wrong that we have committed again. Allahu Akbar. So this person, unfortunate person, they didn't need the kalima. Even though they were advised, they just said, you drink and give me to drink also. Now what a way to go. And if you don't want to go like that, we know what to do. We need to get back to the books. We need to be in good company. It's simple, yet not so simple. Because I want to have fun. I want to go out with my friends. I want to do this. I want to party. I want to do that. That's not going to help you. My dear Islamic brother, dear Islamic sister, it's not going to help you. The Quran is going to help you. The hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is going to help you. That's what is going to help you. in this world and agree in the hereafter as well. Subhanallah, subhanallah. There was a person that he was a chess player, and he was close to his death, and he was told, he was advised to recite the Kalima. What did he say? He said, "Your king," and with these words he passed away. How sad, how unfortunate. He was told on his deathbed, "Read your Kalima." Instead of reciting the Kalima, he just said, "Your king." His soul was taken out. How unfortunate. But how am I going to leave this world if, because of the company I kept in this world, I'm thrown into Jahannam? Then what? Who's going to come and save me there? The friends, my friends, who are gangsters and mafia, who are this guy and that guy, they will come and help me. They will be somewhere burning in Jahannam elsewhere, looking who can help them. So be careful of this. Don't get trapped. I know for some people it can be very easy to get tricked and trapped by shaitan. It can be easy. That, you know, nobody's listening to me, and you know what, there's no hope. And then comes along the bad guy and fills your mind with all junk, anti-Islamic teachings, and we just jump to it and say, okay, let me try this out. My person is desperate. Many a times they do things that, you know, later on they'll question, why did I do this? Why did I say this? Allahu Akbar. Subhanallah. So we should not blindly trust anyone with any relationship that we have. We must make sure that my friend circle, my children's friend circle, that I know each and every person who is there, their name, where they stay. That I don't send my child to, you know, they have these stayovers. I don't send them if there's, you know, the other gender that's there, if there's alcohol there, if there's haram food there. I can't send my child there. It's my duty, my responsibility. I'm going to be questioned about this. What am I going to say? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered me and you as well, that, O you who believe, save yourselves and your families from an-nar, the fire whose fuel is men and stones. Stones referring to the idols, the stone idols. So I need to think about this. Associate, believe me, associate yourself with Dawud Islami. You won't go wrong. You will see for yourself how you benefit from the things you learn every day, to every week, to every month. You will see that it's unreal how much you benefit. And you'll reach the point where you are now training others as well. Until next time, keep watching Madani channel. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.